Welcome. You're listening to The Aligned Self, conversations in creating a conscious and abundant life. This is Daniel Denovi. I'll be your guide and host. Let's see just where we can take this. Hello, friend, and welcome back to the conversation. Today is mid-April, and we're coming up on my birthday, the birthday of the Aligned Self podcast. It's not technically my birthday. My birthday's in October. 3 years ago, I was sitting in a hotel, and I was in a quandary. I was the co-host of another podcast, and I thought it was going to be for the long term. And we came upon, the host and I came upon some creative differences, some, I guess, definitions of agreement. And I was sitting there, I was reflecting, I was contemplating, do I smooth this out or do I create something new, something different? And it was in sitting in this hotel that I got a definitive hit, an intuitive hit that it now was the time for me to strike out on my own. The title of the podcast, The Aligned Self, seemed like a no-brainer to me because I have a coaching program called The Aligned Self. But just about everything that I do in life, coaching, has to do with self-identity, self-concept. How to align our thinking with how we really feel, with our emotions, and then align our behavior with both of those. I often say aligning your heart with your mind and your body. This is congruence. And when a person is congruent in the world, they are unstoppable. You can see them from across the room, and you know there's something going on with them. They are decidedly different. And so this lack of alignment is the thing that gets in the way when people attempt to manifest, when they attempt to have relationships. In fact, it gets in the way of virtually everything in their life that is not working to, I guess, working in the way that you want it to. On some level, internally, there is a mismatch between what you want and what you think you can have and how your emotions are lined up with it. Of course, when you start a podcast or any new project, one of the first questions is, what am I going to talk about? What should be my focus right off the bat? Well, because I was so gripped by my intuitive guidance in that moment, in that hotel in Keller, Texas, it seemed natural to begin talking about intuition, tuning into your intuition, how to trust your vibes, how to foster this inner guidance. And so the first 13 or 20 episodes, I think, are all about intuition, tuning into your intuitive guidance. And if you've come late to the game, if you recently began listening to The Aligned Self and you want to develop your intuitive guidance, I suggest you go back to the beginning. Now, I haven't listened to those early episodes, and I expect that I sound somewhat different. Not extremely different, but I have gotten a lot more comfortable talking here in my office. Physically, by myself, energetically, tuned into each and every one of you. And each and every episode, I do welcome you into the conversation. You see, to me, this is a conversation. It's as if we were sitting across from each other, and I'm talking to you, and you're talking to me. I hear your questions, and I try and make an attempt to respond to your questions the best of my ability. Sometimes I begin each episode thinking I'm going to talk about one thing, and then I talk about something completely different. In fact, last week, I sat down in front of the microphone thinking I was going to talk about one thing, and I ended up talking for about 3.5 hours, recording each and every thought. Now, I have not released that episode. I have to go back and edit it. In fact, I think that episode was actually more for me than it was for you. It was somewhat of a channeling session. I downloaded all kinds of information, and frankly, I have to go back and edit it and actually ascertain whether or not there's anything usable in all that. I mean, it was just a collection of different ideas. So that may come out in the future, or it'll come out in various forms. But again, that's the way this works. I'm highly invested in listening to inner guidance, being inner directed. And I thought today would be an appropriate time at the anniversary of the podcast kicking you off to start talking about intuition again. Now, I'm going to talk about other things because I love talking about everything. But I thought it would be fun to revisit intuitive guidance, that inner knowing. And so today I'm going to talk about honoring your vibe, honoring that inner guidance. How do you honor it? How do you begin paying attention to it? Now, this started out this morning with a conversation with my wife, as a lot of these podcast episodes do. And we were just thinking about or tuning into the different vibes that we've gotten from different places we visited. You see, my wife and I have been thinking about moving to an area with some property because I want to create a community. I want to create a kind of a retreat where people can come and study with me, work with me, meditate with me, which has been an idea of mine ever since I was in my teens. And it was reaffirmed when I was sitting with a channel, I guess, in my 30s. She said that I would end up on healing ground and people would come from all over the world to study and be with me. Now, as I say that, as those words come out of my mouth, this seems quite egotistical, doesn't it? Well, take that for what it is. I know that I have something to offer. I know that I have things to teach. Well, anyways, we thought we found a property out in East Texas. And so my wife and I made the pilgrimage about 2.5 hours out there. And when we arrived, it wasn't anything that we expected. The energy was so heavy. It wasn't pleasant at all. And I was immediately turned off. I scratched that off the list right away. But on paper, it had everything we wanted. Must have watched the YouTube presentation on it at least 20 times. And each time I watched it, I loved it. I just had to get out there, though, and actually feel the energy of the land. And my wife felt the same way. She actually made a comment this morning that we could never, as a couple, we could never actually buy a property sight unseen. We would have to go there and try it on. We would have to walk the grounds, actually tune into the energy. My wife has always had a strong sense of place. Earlier in our conversation this morning, she was recounting when she visited a Victorian home. She wasn't really on the market for the home, but it was such a beautiful place, she had to check it out. And she said, visiting that house, she got a very oppressive, heavy feeling. When she began walking up the stairs, she had that feeling that you might have gotten when you were a little kid, where once you turn the light off, you run up the stairs or run down the hall so that nothing will get you. She said she's never felt more haunted in her life. And then she told the story that she went to a place with her former husband, and the restaurant, the hotel, was supposed to be haunted. It was billed as being a haunted place, and she expected to encounter something weird when she was there. But when they were there, she felt nothing, virtually nothing. At least nothing like that Victorian house. Now, this morning in our conversation, she added to that story that when she was younger, tuning into your vibes was actually not encouraged. And I agreed with her, the same with me. And chances are good for you as well, that you've been taught along the way to not pay attention to your inner vibes, to not honor these inner feelings. And from my perspective today, I think it's one of the most critical skills that you can develop is tuning in to your inner vibes, living your life, being inner directed. And as you may know, I end every podcast with that credo, even though I realize it's not always as easy as I say it is. This departure and separation from our intuition starts at an early age, and it seems so innocent when it begins happening. You know, we go to a family gathering and your parents might say, go kiss your Uncle Jake or go kiss your Aunt Mabel, go give them a hug. And you don't want to. And they make you, oh, come on, go give them some love. But maybe, just maybe, there's something about them you don't like that rubs you the wrong way. Or maybe early on in a work life or even present day, you're involved in an activity, in a job that does not serve your higher good. And you constantly get the impulse, the urge not to go in. But you make yourself go in. I have to. Which is fine in the short term. Sometimes we have to do that because we need to pay the bills. But if you're in a situation in an ongoing basis where you're getting the impulse, the urge to go somewhere else, to not go there anymore, and you keep putting yourself in that environment, then shame on you. Because you're not listening to your inner guidance. Now, we can override that in the short term. Pay attention to it. Acknowledge it. If it comes up, say, I don't like where I'm working. It doesn't serve me. and then start looking for something else. Start getting curious about what else is out there, and you're going to start seeing synchronicity come up. But I've had clients that have told me, I can't stand what I do. And I asked them, how long have you been there? 5 years. How long have you not liked it? 5 years. And maybe it isn't a job. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you've been in a relationship and you've known for a long time that it's not right for you, doesn't support you. Yet for some reason or another, you're pushing that aside and you continue to stay in it. You haven't created. And why do we do that? Fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what's going to happen after. But if you lean in the direction, this took me a long time to realize it, because fear would come up for me and I would push this intuitive guidance aside, put it down because of the fear of the unknown. And this is actually what stops a lot of people. I'm not ready. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen. And they might utter that quote, the devil you know is better than the one you don't. Well, I'm here to tell you, every time I've listened to that intuition, when I've listened to that guidance, I have been completely supported by the universe. It has always worked out fantastically. Now, I can't say from time to time it hasn't been rough moving in a new direction, but it's all dependent upon your level of attachment to the old way of being. If you're open to what's new, if you're open to the adventure of life, if you're allowing the universe to guide you intuitively when to turn right, when to turn left, when to go forward, when to stop, when to take a pause, and you can listen to that guidance when it's a whisper, then your life begins unfolding like magic. Now, there's some things in what I've said that I want to clarify and make distinct. One is you have an attitude that you are guided. You expect to be guided. You trust that you're guided by a higher power, by the universe, even by your higher self. And some people take solace in not making it so close to home, but maybe saying it's God, Jesus, the angels, or even your guides. And yes, all those energies are somewhat the same, and they're somewhat different. So whatever you tune into as your source, that's where you want to tune into, whatever feels comfortable for you. So there is an expectation that you're guided. And then when it shows up, you want to trust it. And this is something that I had a lot of difficulty with early on in my late teens and 20s, especially. I kept asking for another sign. Can you show me another sign? And I was getting signs all over the place, but I would keep asking for another sign. Could you make it even more plain, more explicit to me, please? And this is appropriate. But understand that there's that fear there of really trusting it. You're not quite sure, is this intuitive guidance or is it just my imagination? Because frankly, it seems somewhat the same, especially early on. Where you want to get to is where I find myself today, and that is being able to listen to the whisper, listen to an impulse, listen to just a slight urging, and then following it. Now, I'd like to say I do it all the time, every time it comes up, but sometimes I squash it down. And what happens? What happens when we squash it down? Well, it comes up with even more force. If not from internal guidance, there'll be some circumstance in your life that will kind of blow out of proportion to where you have to pay attention. In the instance of that client that told me they were at a job that they hated for 5 years, and they made the decision right there on that phone call with me that they were going to start looking for another job. But the universe, knowing that they had that fear in the background of looking for something new, decided to kind of give them a gentle push in the right direction. I talked to them on a Monday. By Thursday, they were fired. They were let go. And they had to find something different. This is another mindset in tapping into your intuition, is knowing that the universe has your back. It is always working out for you. And everything is set up for your benefit. With that said, intuitive guidance is always available. Always. The universe, your higher self, is constantly talking to you. 10,000 whispers. I think I entitled an episode with that. 10,000 whispers each and every day. Whispering guidance in your ear. And the only thing that keeps us from listening is the idea that we're not in touch with guidance. We have to achieve some special state, some special altered state of mind in order to tune in to our intuition. What if it was simply an urging, an impulse? And you're constantly, each and every day, being guided on what to do, what to eat, how to respond. But how often do we acquiesce to past programming, past ideas of how we should be, could be, where we're governed by the demands and the needs of the ego, our insecurities? So how do you begin trusting your intuition? Well, you just start practicing. I wish it was more explicit than that, more clear. I actually had a student get mad at me when I gave the prescription of how to tune in, how to begin listening to your intuition. She wanted a specific recipe. This is how it shows up. Exactly. Well, you have to ascertain what your own, I guess, inner vocabulary is. What is your method for interpreting energy? So it takes some practice. It doesn't take a long time, just some focused practice, some conscious trusting. I have to admit, in the beginning, it's easiest to do when it involves dinky-do items, dinky small decisions. The scientific term dinky-do is something I picked up from one of my early teachers in neurolinguistic programming, and that was Linda Summers. And I like the term, and so I picked up the torch and I pass it along to you. So you might tune in to what are you going to eat today and actually get centered, get grounded, and just clear your mind for a second. What sounds good? And then what will feel good after you eat it? A lot of things sound good, especially when you're hungry, but not everything will resonate with your body. And since we're talking about food, this is when you kind of tune in and you want to eat something. And in the back of your mind, you know it's not good for you. You know you're going to probably have an upset stomach afterwards, or you're not going to feel as marvelous an hour later, but it's all you can think of eating at this moment. So you want to go back to the quiet voice in the background and tune into that. What is the recommendation? Then trust it. Go with the recommendation and see how it works out. How do you end up feeling? In an hour or two, you're going to have an instant feedback situation where you can look back or tune in to how were you feeling when you were making that decision. And as you trusted it, is it a feeling you can trust next time based on the result you got from going ahead with that guidance? Now, this inner feeling is going to occur typically somewhere along your midline. When I say your midline, if you were to draw a line between your belly button and your throat, that is the midline of your body. Usually people get a gut feeling. And if you were to tune in for a moment and think of the word yes, 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 where does that feel? Where does that feeling occur when you think of the word yes? And you might want to turn the podcast episode off for a second and do that just so you can tune into it. And then contrast that with a no. What does a no feel like in the body? You see, a yes feels different than a no. Is it right or is it wrong? It feels different in the body. Where does it occur in your body? This is how you start tuning in. And as you tune in, this is where you want to begin honoring your own yes and no. And so if you're a person that tends to say yes when you want to say no to other people, because you don't want to make them feel bad or disappoint them, I was there. I did that all the time. I was a chameleon. I was a people pleaser early on in life. I would say yes and then regret the fact that I said yes because I really wanted to say no. I didn't feel like I didn't want to do it. I just felt like, well, I didn't have a good reason to say no, so I just said yes. I now know that I don't need a good reason. Just the fact that I don't want to is good enough. I don't have to appease somebody else's sense of what is right or wrong for me. But that was a journey in and of itself. So in the meantime, if you can tune into what is a no for you and honor what is a no, I don't feel like it, I don't want to, then don't do it. Honor that for yourself. And then also honor it for the people around you. Honor it for your children. Honor it for your partner, your coworker. When they say no, don't even ask for a reason. Don't ask for an explanation. Why? Why not? When they say no, okay, no problem. This is very important if you're a parent to begin honoring your children's yes and no. And I agree, this is where it probably takes some wisdom to know when is it a solid no or when are they just being defiant because you said so. If you ask them to do something they don't want to do, this is where it's good to give them a double bind. Two choices that are your choices. You can either do it now or do it about 30 minutes from now, which is more appropriate for you. This gives them a sense of choice. This gives them a sense of autonomy. And as a parent, I understand this is not always easy. It's not always convenient to give your kids a choice in the matter. Because sometimes you want to be expedient. Sometimes you have to get them on board, get everyone in line. And you don't have time for a conversation, not a lengthy conversation. And so sometimes we default to do as I say. But this is where it's incumbent upon you to tune in. Are you operating from past programming, or are you present to the present moment? When I say present, that's aware, in touch, in tune with the present moment, and not caught up in some past programming. I want to illustrate this with another story. Going back to my conversation with my wife, we recounted a time when we had a pipe burst in the house and we had to vacate. As they began repairs, and we moved to a suite hotel. As we arrived at the hotel suite, we both commented that it seemed a little gray, not the Ritz, it was just a little uncomfortable. But as my wife typically does, she can make any place feel comfortable, any place feel like home. And there we were, my wife and I, and our autistic boy, who at the time was 19 or 20. We had a two-bedroom suite. My wife and I had a bedroom, and he had a bedroom. We set him up like he was a king. We set up the TV, brought in a VCR. He was watching movies. We popped him popcorn. He was tucked in like a bug in his bed. Well, in the middle of the night, he kind of let out a scream, and he was crying. He was upset. He ended up throwing up in the bathroom. And in that moment, we just thought that he was kind of upset because he wasn't at home, was in a strange place. We started kind of explaining it away, soothed him, and put him back to bed. Well, once we were back in our bedroom, I confessed that I had a really weird dream. And she said I had a weird dream too, a disturbing dream. She said she was watching a TV, and on the TV was a news show about a serial killer. I said, oh my God, I had a dream I was the killer, and I was seeing these crimes through my eyes. It was in that moment, in me recounting my dream, me considering her dream, and then our son's response, we both immediately agreed, we need to leave. We need to go home. So we did. We packed it up, and we went back home for the night and got a different hotel the next day. The house was not totally unusable. It just wasn't convenient for the construction that was going on. But we could definitely stay there one more night. So the next day, we made arrangements for a different hotel. And then over the next couple days, I would go back to the original suites and gather stuff up and take it in the car and take it over to the new hotel room, because we were basically packed up for 6 weeks. But it was in me going back, I noticed that the room adjacent to ours that butted up against where our son's room was, there was a do not disturb sign on the door. And it just felt creepy to me and dark. The first trip I did by myself. The second trip I brought my boy with me. We gathered up the remaining items that we had in the room. And as we walked by that door and went down the stairway, he said under his breath, I'm going to get you. I'm going to kill you. And I asked him, where did that come from? I don't know. Well, 20 years old and autistic, he's very intuitive. He's like a sponge for energy. That's one thing we know for sure. And I feel as if there was someone that was dark, demonic, staying in that room. I picked up on it, my wife picked up on it, and our boy picked up on it. But a key point in me telling that story is if I had not had that dream, if my wife had not had her dream, we would have pushed his experience aside. We would have downplayed it. We would have explained it away. But because we both had those dreams and they were so similar, we knew we had to honor his experience. Today, we don't push him into situations that he does not want to go to. If he has an emotional knee-jerk response, then we honor that. And we use that experience at the hotel that night as a benchmark on how to respond when those things come up, not just for him, but for us as well. If I'm totally transparent, when I think back to that time at that hotel, walking past that door, having the feeling that I had, it bothers me that I did not call the police. I still wrestle with that, although I have no idea how I would talk to them about, I walked by this door and I got a creepy feeling. And the night before I had this really disturbing dream, and I think that room has something to do with it. Yeah, right. More than likely that would have been the response. But I didn't even find out for sure. I could have called. They could have told me I was crazy, that I was a kook, but at least I would have called. I prayed to the divine that that person was caught, that was apprehended, that was stopped, and I actually sent that person unconditional love to shift their thinking. I don't know if it helped. It feels like it did, but ultimately that's just a story I'll never know the answer to. The good news, in the next hotel, the energy was completely different. And that was actually the hotel room that I was sitting in when I began this episode. So let me see if I can sum all this up for you. Act as if you're constantly getting intuitive guidance from the universe. It's all around you. It's every minute of every day, it's available. You just have to tune into it. You get centered and check in with yourself. And when I say get centered, just suspend your thinking for that moment. Just try and become an empty vessel, like you're in the shower or you're driving. You've all had ideas and concepts that have popped in your head when you were thinking about something else while driving or taking a shower or washing the dishes. That's kind of the state that you want to be in order to receive. Next is tune into that guidance. Is it yes? Is it no? How does it feel? Where is it in your body? Honor it. Act as if it's true. Follow it through. Take the direction and then reflect back on it. Was it right? Was it appropriate? How did that feel in your body? Where was it? And then if it was spot on, then you remember how you felt and you tell yourself, the next time I feel that feeling, I will know to act on it. Or if there was a sense of ambivalence, you weren't quite sure, when that feeling is there, you'll know not to take action on it. And then the foundational belief behind all this is that the universe has your back. Everything is always working out for you. You have divine guidance in your pocket. Okay, well, I'm going to be sprinkling more ideas, more concepts, more episodes around intuition to revisit it again. I don't think I've done it quite the intense focus that I did early on in this podcast history, but it is definitely a part of my day-to-day. It's part of my life, each and every moment. There's not a day, not a moment that I don't tune into inner guidance, that I don't at least consider it. And it is so important to your life to be able to live from that inner guidance, to be inner directed, to not be influenced by outside circumstances, at least not in a way where you compromise your own sense of rightness and wrongness for you. So with that said, until next time, this is your friend and host, Daniel Denovi, urging you to follow your bliss. Live your life from inner signals. Be inner directed as you engage in the epic adventure.